All right. Good evening once again, brethren. Please open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 20. Before we start, please join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to be in your house. We thank you for all of the wonderful blessings, Lord, that you bestowed upon us, about this family, the family of Calvary Baptist Church. We thank you for keeping us safe throughout the week. We thank you for the wonderful fellowship we've been having here, Lord. We are so blessed to be a part of this wonderful family and to be your servants. We ask, Lord, I ask that you please help me tonight to share scripture, Lord. Just help me to be clear in the message, Lord, and that I don't veer from your word. And I ask you to be with all the families here tonight. Be with their loved ones. Be with our church members that are not here with us tonight also. We pray for the pastor and his family. We pray for Debbie as she's away from her family also. Lord, we pray for Giselle. We pray for all of the ones that are not able to be here tonight, that want to be here but can't for any reason. We just pray that you continue to bless them, Lord, and have them continually seek you. Thank you once again, Heavenly Father. All this we humbly ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verse 20. And it states, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is the life and the length of the days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. When you wake up in the morning, how do you feel? Physically and emotionally. What is your reason for getting out of bed? What kind of attitude do you start out your day with? These are all good questions. This evening, I want to preach to you about what makes life worth living. So what does living a meaningful life mean? Some find that relationships with friends, family, and loved ones are an important source of joy and purpose. A sense of connection to others and a feeling of belonging can also be important for many people. Having good physical and mental health can also be essential for a life worth living. But what does Scripture say about a life worth living? To really understand this, we have to go to the words of Jesus. He tells us to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Matthew 22:36-40 states, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When Christians get this right, immense value is added to their lives. Our love for God fuels our love for others. Many people value living a long life. An increased lifespan is of little value unless it is for a life worth living. The Apostle Paul did not see the prolonging of life as a major objective as stated in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21. It says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Indeed, he regarded death as something of even greater worth. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon's father David had taught him to retain his sound advice and thus live a life that counts. Notice in Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verses 4b to 5, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. David's major concern was for his son to get wisdom and understanding, which really means to live for the Lord. He encouraged Solomon to never forget this because only a life lived for God really counts. Tonight, I will be touching up on three major points. Point one, Jesus is life. Point number two, what living for Jesus brings. And three, what the word of life gives. All signifying a life worth living. Point one, Jesus is life. In explaining Jesus' life, I will be focusing on three major points. One, Jesus is the giver of life. Point two, he is not only the giver of life, he is the giver of abundant life. And three, he is the giver of eternal life. First, Jesus is God and the giver of life. He was the foundation of life to every living thing. Notice John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was not a created being. He was the creator of all things. This includes mankind, the animals, the heavenly planets, the angels, all things visible and invisible. There is no exception. If a thing was made, he made it. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 states, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Next, Jesus is the giver of abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10 states, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A thief takes other people's property secretly without the owner's knowledge. A thief steals, kills, and destroys. That is his purpose. He has selfish motives and would go as far as killing to get what he wants and to achieve his objectives. Thieves are hated and when caught may be beaten, imprisoned, or made to pay restitution, or even sometimes in case of mob justice, be killed. The thief in this context is the devil. Now that he has fallen from God's grace, his scheme for mankind is to block our salvation through stealing God's life principles for us, trying to kill people physically and spiritually. But the Lord Jesus comes to give, not to get. He does not come to the human heart for selfish reasons. He comes so that people may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We receive life the moment we are saved, the moment we accept Jesus as our Savior. But there are various degrees of enjoyment in this life. The moment we turn ourselves over to Him, to the Holy Spirit, the more we enjoy the life, our life. We don't only have life, but we have it more abundantly. Notice the following illustration about two boys at a fair. Their father purchased armbands for them, and they entered the gate. Awestruck at all of the blinking lights, all of the people, we heard the shrieks of joy from those who were riding on the various rides in the midway that night. Their faces were lit up much like the bright lights, and you could see grins so wide from their excitement. As they watched, they could imagine the feeling of lightness in their stomachs as they were rocked to and fro. It looked like so much fun. Everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves greatly. Each ride that they came to looked more exciting than the previous one. The people aboard seem to be having the time of their lives. The whole scene looked so inviting, and yet they had no money. Their dad had paid for the armbands and told them they were on their own, without any money, were left to watch everyone else enjoy themselves. The more they saw everyone else having a great time, the more they wished they were able to purchase tickets in order that they might ride the rides. They were standing around miserable, wishing their father would come and get them, when they heard him say, "Hey, you two, what are you doing?" They answered, "We are just watching these people on the rides. Why aren't you riding any of them?" the father asked. "We don't have any money to buy tickets." "Son, don't you know that the rides are included in the price that I already paid? Your armband gets you access to all the rides." They were stunned. They had no idea that they could have been enjoying the carnival to its fullest extent by just taking advantage of what their father had given them. Sadly, there are many Christians just like that. They walk around miserable, seeing others at peace, seeing others filled with joy, seeing others content and free. They are miserable as they watch others full of assurance and victory and blessing. Oh, it all looks so inviting, but they just don't see how they can pay for it. They stand around wishing their father would come and get them out of this place. And then maybe they hear his voice. "What are you doing?" he calls. "Watching these people enjoy themselves," they reply. "Why aren't you enjoying yourself?" The father asks. "We can't afford the tickets," they continue. "Son," God calls, "don't you know that they are included in the price that I already paid? Jesus did more than just save you. He gave you a life of blessing. He did more than just reserve you a place in heaven. He gave you a wonderful, anointed life here on earth. Don't you know that it's included in the price he paid?" Many Christians walk around with a brightly colored spiritual armband on, never realizing that it gives them access to all the blessings that Jesus Christ offers. They're at the carnival, but they're not riding any rides. Brethren, Jesus died to give you life, abundant life. He promises you peace, joy, contentment, assurance, victory, and confidence. Don't be satisfied to simply wear your armband. Get on the ride. Number three, Jesus is the giver of eternal life. John 11:25 states, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So not only did he create us and breathe life into us and gave us our temporary life on this earth, not only did he give us abundant life, he has given us eternal life for those that accept him as their Savior. He gave us eternal life, a life that will never end. John 10:27-28 states, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." This verse is clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is himself the way to heaven. He does not merely show us the way. He is the way. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior and you will have salvation. He is not one of many ways to get to heaven. He is the only way. Jesus is the truth. He is not one that teaches the truth. He is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Jesus is the life. He is the source of life, both spiritual and eternal. Those that receive him have eternal life because he is the life. Now we get to point two. What makes life worth living? Living for Jesus. Living for our Lord Jesus brings us three things. One, it brings great joy, peace, and contentment. 2, it brings us satisfaction. And 3, it brings blessings. The Word of God tells us that only Jesus can give you joy and happiness. Psalm 16:11 states, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures for evermore. Because our Lord, the only God of peace, joy, and happiness, fulfills whatever we ask." That is why our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I have given you joy and happiness." That is true joy and happiness that comes from our God. We will never get this from the world for a price. He who lives with God must live in joy and happiness and contentment. He may have temporary sorrow in his life, but no one can take away the joy and happiness that Jesus brings us. Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 states, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." While God deals with his enemies in judgment, his people always have reason to rejoice and shout for joy, and as they find him to be their refuge, strong and sure. May all that love him magnify him as their unfailing defender. If you're looking for true contentment, consider these suggestions. Keep your eyes on God. Give thanks to God for all he's blessed you with and to others when they impact your life. Don't compare yourselves to others. Focus on the things that have eternal value rather than earthly value. The next time you catch yourself looking or longing, look to God. Only he can satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. You'll only ever be truly content when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So living for Jesus brings us great joy, peace, and contentment. It also brings us satisfaction. Psalm chapter 107, verse 9 says, "For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness." You know that feeling of satisfaction when you're really thirsty. You take a drink from a nice tall glass of water. Or what about when you're working all day with little or no time to break for food and you sit down to enjoy one of your favorite meals? Having a relationship with God has a similar effect. Only God can satisfy the deepest longing of your soul. And only he can fill your hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 17, verses 15 states, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Isaiah chapter 58, verses 11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." It is God who puts a hunger in our heart, both for justification and sanctification. The unbeliever is drawn by the Father's cord of love and convicted of their sinfulness and need of a Savior. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and when faith in Christ's sacrificial work is finally received into the heart, the man or woman is born of the Spirit of God, and a thirsty soul who aches for peace with God is satisfied. Finally, living for Jesus brings blessings. The Hebrew word for blessing is barakah, which means to kneel or to praise. It is often used in the context of a superior bestowing a blessing upon a subordinate. In the Old Testament, we see God blessing his people through the covenant with Abraham and the promises he made to him and his descendants. Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 states, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When preparing for this topic of a life worth living, the living for Jesus comes to mind. The song, "Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. What makes life worth living? Living for Jesus makes life worth living. But also, the word of life makes life worth living. What is the word of life? The word of life is both the good news of the gospel, what God has done for all sinners in Jesus Christ, as well as the word of revelation found in Scripture that explains what the gospel is. It is the word of life because it is there that we find truth regarding where life may be found, namely in Christ. Why does the word of life make life worth living? Because it gives us understanding and it gives us direction. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7 states, consider that I say what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In this verse, Timothy is exhorted to consider the things that Paul says and to meditate on them, that the Lord will give him understanding in all things. Meditating on God's word is important in a Christian's life. As you hear, memorize, and meditate on God's word, God will increase your faith in him. Through meditation, you can fill your mind and heart with the promises of God. As you see these promises realized through everyday life situations, your faith will grow. The word of life gives us direction in our Christian life. When we trust in God's word, we find that it lights up our path. God's word gives us direction when we need it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 state, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 states, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Then hold fast the word of life, for as Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you desperate for more faith? Then hold fast the word of life. For as Paul said, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Conclusion, you can have a life worth living. It's totally up to you. Eternal life is a gift that you must receive. Romans chapter 6, verses 23, not only reveals the necessity of faith in Jesus for salvation, but it also provides assurance of eternal life to those who believe. By emphasizing the eternal life, that eternal life is a gift from God. The verse reassures believers that their salvation is secure in Christ. Jesus lived a sinless life, and he took man's penalty of death upon himself. When he was crucified and died on the cross, 3 days later he rose from the dead. He offers full pardon and eternal life for all who believe in him. This is the gift of eternal life for those who accept and receive him. In closing, a verse out of the book of Numbers. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let us pray. Thank you then again, dear Heavenly Father, for your wisdom, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that we go forth, Lord. Take the words that we heard tonight, Lord, and live a life worth living, a life that we give to you and to Christ, Lord. We just ask that you continue to watch over us, to guide us, Lord. Teach us how to think. Teach us how to pray, Lord. Teach us what we need to know, Lord, to live a life that really counts, and that's a life for you. This we humbly ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.